Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today on New Life, and if you want to join us, we are live in the studio, 1-800-229-3000. Would love to talk to you, and we'll do another program right after this. Now, you can always watch us on Facebook Live when we're live on the radio, but after this, when we tape a program, you can watch the program we're taping live on Facebook Live. So you can be here, 1-800-229-3000. I've got two people,
courageous people. I think I understood what he just said. I mean,
really?
Kind of.
Okay.
About whether we're not on the air.
Live or not. Whether we're live.
Beyond, yeah.
Well, and if you're watching us, you can see that Mylan is moving away from me. So.
Yeah, and I have my blue gloves on here, trying to stay, you know, safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been through a few health issues.
Yes, you have.
You're over 60.
I don't even want to breathe toward you.
Yeah.
And I am, you know, we just did a workshop in California, and so I had to fly back, and I had a mask on, a really great, not just a little old crummy thing, but a really great mask, and I had more disinfectant wipes than most people would ever carry.
And you found some. Good for you.
But now I am. But my wife's been through some stuff, and I don't want to get the kids. I don't think my kids would get sick, but they could get the virus and be a carrier. You know, the kids usually don't come down with the symptoms, but, I mean, some might. But anyway, I'm here at the studio and at my office, and I'm going to stay here for 2 weeks, and I'm not going to be in contact with anybody for 2 weeks because I don't want anybody – it's not about not getting them sick. It's about I don't want them to get the virus and give it to somebody else. And, you know, somebody – if you're thinking, hey, I'm not worried, I'm not going to get sick, or I'm healthy, that's not the point, of course. It's that we want to protect everybody. Mm-hmm. And so when people – say social distancing, I'm just encouraging people, if you've thought, oh, that's just an overreaction, you know, really at this stage, it is the only thing that works is not getting it or giving it to somebody else. And so social distancing is a good thing. And we'll get through this. That's the main thing. I was talking to folks at our workshop who, when we call to welcome them, we always call before the workshop, they were begging us not to cancel. But I was talking to them about the concept. There's a book called The Black Swan. And the story is that everybody thought swans were white until around the 1600s when somebody went to Australia and saw a black swan. Well, it didn't matter how many white swans you had seen. This unforeseeable event changed everybody's mind. Well, now we call these black swan events, these things that we can't predict or we didn't see it coming, but we have to deal with it. And I just want to remind everybody, right after 9/11, we thought, oh my goodness, life's never going to be the same. We could be bombed next or whatever. And you tend to think the worst things. But when you look back, we got through it. God's got this. Now we need to wash our hands. God is in control. Now we need to keep our distance. In other words, it's a combination of trusting God and all. But we'll get through this and we'll look back on this and we'll say, yeah, here's some good news for you. China was reporting 1,200 cases a day. They're down to about 11 cases a day. It's going to get better. But it's going to probably get worse from what I hear, the medical experts, before it gets better. So just do whatever you need to do to keep your distance, wash your hands, do the things that people are telling you to do. Be responsible, but no need to panic or live in total fear. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. The phone number, we'd love you to call us, 1-800-229-3000, because no matter what kind of virus we have out there, we all have problems in here. But I want to tell you about what some of you are responsible for. We did do Finding Freedom, and we can't do Finding Freedom without the support of people like you. It just doesn't happen without your support. Well, let me just read you what somebody wrote. Pretty amazing, and it was just such an incredible weekend. In fact, you know, one guy said, I was not going to share this whole weekend. I was prepared to come, and I just was not, I just, too much shame, not going to reveal anything. And then this guy in his group opens up, and he said, I shared stuff that I thought I was going to take to my grave. Pretty cool.
Wow, that is cool.
Wow. Yeah.
He said, I opened up about things I had never told anyone, and I literally thought I was going to take those things to my grave. Someone said in their evaluation, it was phenomenal. It was what I needed. And it was such an amazing format to have the balance of the teaching, and then you're in a group with people going to work. And they said, God used Steve and Chris and my group to push me with gentle and insightful Christ-like love toward my next best step toward recovery. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
So they were lovingly, Christ-likely pushed to go to the next step.
You know what's interesting? I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say the interesting thing that I find myself intrigued by over and over and over again. It's so simple, but it's very profound. Is we are harmed and injured by others. And in relationships, we feel pain. But then we're healed in relationships with safer people. And it's counterintuitive because people think, if I was hurt with people, I don't want to get with people. So I want to hold all this in. But it is in community that we heal. And when we're open, transparent, vulnerable, and we can bring these things out into the light, it's a marvelous thing that we do.
Well, and it's the example of Jesus, isn't it? He came and was with us, was with people in order to heal us.
Yeah.
And so now you have, a lot of you have kids at home, and you didn't have that before. a lot of you have time on your hands, and you're wondering, well, now what could I do? Great time to do some things you've never done before. How about get out that puzzle that's been in the attic or in the basement, and you guys work a puzzle together. It actually does something for anxiety and worry when you work a puzzle. There's something about the predictability of the pieces going together, and then when that happens, it really helps you emotionally. This is a great time. Some of you have said, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. Okay, go ahead. Or if not, just start journaling. You know, maybe you've wanted to journal, but you never have. And here's something else that New Yorker Magazine's working on a piece right now. Some of you are together as husband and wife and spending more time together than ever, and it's not going well. So, you know, if that's the case, maybe you sign up for one of our workshops in future months, or you go and order a book on Amazon, like How We Love, be a great one, or The Mediterranean Love Plan, something like that, and you try to figure this out while you're doing it. You've always thought, oh, I'd love to be a blogger. Okay, well, now you've got time to do some plogging. A lot of things you can do. We'll give more ideas.
And it's a good distraction from the, you know, the 24/7 news cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And just constantly being updated.
Well, there's one more thing, Steve. Excuse me. Those are my allergies. It's not a cold.
Yeah, you just had a cough. It's Mylan.
That was an allergy. It's not
Don't freak out.
Okay, here's another thing. So people are so used to extreme busyness, they don't know what to do when things are all of a sudden silent and quiet and there's no place to go or we can't go do things.
You're right. It creates its own anxiety, doesn't it?
Yes. I know a lot of people that are super freaked out because they don't have something to do right now. Mm-hmm. And they're so used to distraction that they are freaked out by silence and quiet and solitude. And this might be a good idea to decompress and adjust yourself to it and accept it. And if we don't accept it and we're always fighting, you know, we're just going to hyperventilate and get into a panic. But I literally know some people that say, if I don't have a lot to do, I don't know what I'd be too scared of what would bubble up. And so 30 years ago, I made myself tolerate what bubbled up. Five minutes, then 10 minutes, and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I could
stretching
tolerate.
Stretching your ability
and tolerate. I was able then to tolerate solitude and quietness. It was something I had to teach myself.
To your point, if you would like to have a big muscle on your arm, you cannot meditate on muscle and make it happen. No, you know, you can't go into a relaxation room and build muscle on your arm. What you actually have to do is produce a little bit of discomfort for the muscle and strain it even to the point it might even ache a little bit. And then when you quit, it repairs itself to be stronger the next time you decide to pick up some weights and things like that. So the same with our emotions. What you're saying is you plan the discomfort. You welcome a little bit more discomfort, and then you can handle more discomfort. But if we're always running from discomfort, not going to have very strong arms, and you're not going to be able to deal with much. So this is a great time to say, what is it that I'm feeling? Why is that such a big problem for me, and what could I do so that I take this discomfort and I practice turning it over to God? Mm-hmm. Let's go to Keith, Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
What's going on in your life today? There. Yeah, we're right here.
Well, I just called. I've been listening to y'all for years, and I've never called or anything, but I'm pretty articulate in telling who's a good person to talk to and who's not to. But you guys got a lot of wisdom, and I'm 60 years old, and I'm more or less still doing stuff I did when I was a kid. I don't want to go into a bunch of stuff on this telephone, but I've been using my whole entire life, you know, since I was a kid. And I've kind of gotten back to, I've kicked a lot of the hard stuff, the heroin and the crack and cocaine and all this other garbage I used to do. I was on it bad, and I've been in treatment multiple times, probably 30, 40 times, I don't know, long-term treatment, boot camp treatment. And I've kind of come to the conclusion, and I've already been told I'm dealing with a double-edged sword with the addiction and mental illness. I deal with major recurrent depression every day, and I do not feel sorry for myself one bit. I'm just trying to figure out how I can get back on track. Actually, right now, I've procrastinated and procrastinated for years. I quit going to AA, and one reason why is a lot of people died. Old timers that I knew, and I really didn't have anybody to talk to. I got discouraged and quit going, and then I couldn't stay sober. I was a what they call a persistent relapser or what have you, you know. And
okay.
I got tired of going, and people ask me all the time, how long you been sober?
Okay, so what's the question for us then, Keith? Having gone through all of that, what could we help you with?
Trying to figure out how I get back on track. Right now I'm binge drinking and smoking pot, drinking every now and then, pot pretty much every day. It just takes the edge off. As soon as I get up in the morning, I'll hit a joint a couple times and smoke cigarettes, watch a 700 club. And well, you can't go to meetings now because, like I said, I procrastinated, and now this virus is around. I'm assuming they've shut those down to, skeleton crew, if they even run them. I don't know.
You know what? Well, hold on. I'll talk to you about meetings here in a minute. But let's start with Mylan and then Jill, and then I've got some thoughts for you. So, Mylan, what are your thoughts here? Here's a guy. He's saying, I watch the 700 Club. I'm interested in spiritual things while I'm binge drinking, smoking pot. No treatment has ever been effective for me.
Thank you for calling, Keith. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your honesty and your willingness to share with us. I noted clearly when you said, I smoke pot in the morning to take the edge off. Mm-hmm. And the edge off, those words mean that something is agitating inside of you. And this is kind of what we were talking about earlier, learning to get used to uncomfortable feelings. They're a part of life. I remember Jill and I, who I'm on the show here with today, we were together maybe 10 years ago, and we said to someone on the radio, just to live in this world creates some level of anxiety, mm-hmm. because it's a broken place. So realizing that there's agitation in there, I'm going to move over to something else here. When we talk about getting sober, that's one thing. That's like, how many days have I not used some substance? But then there's another element, which is getting healthy. And that's different than getting sober. You need a different group of people to do that with. You need people that want to grow, want to change, that want to stimulate one another, get into a book club, people that are studying and talking and in community about growing emotionally and spiritually and relationally. And that would be one of the things I would suggest is really important. It's not just an entire dependence on AA as your only source of stabilization, but you have another healthy group to be with. And the last thing I would say, Keith, is have you ever grieved the massive losses in your life that started you off as a child using substances to relieve the pain? You see, your internal angst has been there for your mm-hmm. lifetime. But have we ever grieved the causes and the reasons for that? And mourning is a cleansing activity that we can participate in. And a lot of people have never thought about grieving the past and the pain, or getting angry at it, and having emotions about the hurt and the abuse I went through, and then having somebody love me there and identify with me there. And that's a lot about how we heal our histories.
Right. And so that means being with someone in the presence of those feelings, right? Because it's not enough to just be alone and experience those feelings. I mean, that's what, you know, as soon as those feelings come up, you self-medicate. And you've been self-medicating so long. And what I'm hearing, Keith, is you're just medicating yourself to feel semi-normal. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that means, but just kind of to get by and to survive in life. And, it, you know, with such a long history, your ability to cope, you know, has been impaired. And the thing, you know, part of the impairment is in the thinking of addicts, and that is, if I feel any discomfort or any pain, something must be horribly wrong and I need to get rid of it right away. Instead of what Mylan was describing, no, it's through the pain that actually the healing comes, right? And so
okay,
it's...
Okay,
go ahead,
yeah.
Steve.
No, we're going to go to a break. Finish that thought there.
Okay, well, and it's not to the point of traumatizing you. It's with another who can help to keep you safe in the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Keith, hold on. By the way, I got some thoughts for you. I hope it'll, those thoughts are going to help some other people who are stuck in whatever they're stuck in. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for 2 hours. 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Keith, we, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and myself. Keith, are you still there, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so here's a question. I don't know if it's something you can access, but it's something to think about later. But if a person has had access to all of the treatment that you've had, you know, a lot of people, they don't have any money, they don't have funds, they're whatever. They never have meetings to go to, they never have treatments to get into, but you have. In my experience, and I started working with alcoholics and drug addicts, especially prescription drug addicts, in 1977. So I've had a few folks. But someone like yourself, if you're able to not get sober, it takes quite a bit of effort to do that. And it requires some fatal excuses to do it. Have you thought about what the fatal excuse might be that's kept you from ever getting better? The thing that you tell yourself, you could even call it a fatal lie that you tell yourself. Let me give you an example. A person could be drunk every day of their life and be telling themselves, I'll quit tomorrow. That would be a fatal lie, a fatal excuse. Or they could be saying, I've got this under control. Or I don't really have a problem. But I think what you're telling yourself is something much more sophisticated, complicated. Have you thought about what it might be? For instance, it's time for you to get up and go to a meeting after you've been in treatment. When you go to treatment, everybody says you have to go to meetings. But at some point, you don't go to that meeting. What is it in your head that's saying, I'm not going to go to that meeting, and here's why I'm not going to go? Have you ever thought that through?
Yeah, most of them are kind of lame excuses, actually, if I really think about them.
But what is it that you tell yourself?
They tell you got to be willing to go to any length, and it's easier for some people to say that than others, you know.
No, what they do, that isn't what is the requirement for you to go to a meeting. They say for you to stay sober, you need to be willing to go to any length. But to come to a meeting, there's only one requirement. And that is that you don't want the old life you had, and you'd like to stop drinking. That's it. But you jump to the ultimate thing because you figure out, no, I'm not willing to go to any length. But really, all you have to do is to do the thing that other people do when they get out of treatment to stay sober is they go to meetings. They work a program. And after two or three treatments, they realize, I'm going to have some really amazing, amazing therapy to deal with some stuff down inside of me that a lot of alcoholics and drug addicts don't have. And then they say, I can't do this checking in with my little problem twice a week or once a week. I'm going to have to go to something every day. It's going to be a recovery meeting. It's going to be a men's Bible study. I'm going to volunteer somewhere and give somebody something of what I know or what I can do. And then I'll go to three other meetings a week. But you've never gotten to that point because you're lying to yourself in a way that the lie allows you to continue in a life that you absolutely hate living.
Well, I live alone. I've never been married, and I don't have kids, and I come up with excuses and alibis and whatever. Well, and it's easy to, when you stay in your head all the time, and it's easy to, when the committee's in session, it's easy to come up with a bunch of excuses.
Sure. And then you described going to meetings and people asking you the question of how long you've been sober, and then that shame kicks in.
And so it begs the question,
why would you call us today?
Keith, why would you call us today?
I haven't talked to anybody in AA. First the year I made resolutions and I didn't keep them. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Then Ash Wednesday, I went and got my ashes and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I can't do it. I just, every day it's something. I end up sinning, doing something.
You're committed, Keith. You're committed to doing something under your own power, because you think one of these days you're going to be strong enough to do it. And you know, whereas God wants us to worship Him, Satan has you right where Satan wants you. You're worshiping yourself. You think, hey, Keith, we're going to do this, but it doesn't ever happen. So I think maybe. It's hard for me to believe that you really thought something good could come from this phone call. But it could come from this phone call. But the question is, do you just want to talk about it, or are you willing to do something after you hang up the phone? That's the question.
Well, I mean, I could do... I've pretty much been... You know, I didn't go in all these treatment centers and stuff with money. I mean, you know, when you hit bottom, you hit bottom. And every bottom has a trap door, you know, and I fall through them all the time. So, I mean, you can go to...
I think we'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening... I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Now, Keith, we're pulling for you here. I want something good to happen here. I know there are lots of online meetings, and I think most meetings are still meeting. And I want this to not just be a conversation. I want this to be the conversation that leads to you doing something that changes your life forever. That's why we have a radio show. And for some reason, you called on a day. We had a little extra time here. We've got a couple more calls to go to. But I just want to encourage you to do the fundamental thing that's hard for you to do after you get out of treatment. And let's just say that this phone call is treatment. So what are you supposed to do after treatment? You're supposed to continue to go to these meetings and
yeah,
not judge
90
whether...
And 90.
Yep.
And,
well, just do one in one day today. Go, but don't... See, you're going way down the road there. I'm just wanting you to do one thing today, and that is to go to a meeting. Don't judge the person leading it or the people, but just try to think about how whatever the step is they're dealing with, or the principal in recovery, or whoever's sharing, how it could change your life. I cannot imagine, Keith, anything good's going to happen if you stay isolated. And we were just talking at the break about how isolation just
probably wind
kills
up
us.
Yeah.
Yes,
isolation
we don't want
kills.
That for you. Look at that. For whatever reason, God had you call us on a day. You got right through. And God's not going to.
Yep. Well, God wants to do something, Keith.
God has not given up on you. You don't give up on him. But Mylan was talking about iron sharpening iron, and I want him to share that with you, Keith, because what we're wanting to happen here is we have this conversation. You go to a meeting today, and you call us tomorrow, and you tell us that that's exactly what you did. That's my
prayer. And are you willing
prayer
to
for
do
you.
That?
That's my goal.
Trying to hold me accountable, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you willing?
I don't.
Keith, are you willing?
Are you willing to accept
our help?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I have to get somebody to get a ride or something.
You know what? There's all kinds of obstacles, right?
Yeah,
but you got to push through those, and you've got to tolerate being uncomfortable and feeling bad about yourself. So it's not about how you feel, right? It's just about following through. And showing up. You just have to show up.
I believe they are.
What?
And here's the other thing, Keith. If you decide you're going to do it, okay, well, then you decide I might have to walk 7 blocks to catch the public bus or something if you're not going to Uber or something. But let today be the day you try to figure it out. You don't have anything better to do than to figure out how to get to an 8 o'clock meeting tonight. Or maybe you can get to one earlier. But look at AA's website.
All day, morning and noon
yeah,
at night.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, see how much you know, but what are you willing to do? That's what I want. I don't want this just to be a phone call.
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's either do it or don't do it, you know? I mean, if you're going to do something, you better want
yeah.
to do it. I'm pretty good at
So we're asking you, are you going to do
things.
It?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to promise because
Okay, so you're making room for those excuses.
You know, let me tell you this. Keith,
they're your best friend right now, right? But
yesterday,
they're not a good friend.
I was talking to the people at our workshop, and I said, you know, there are two ways that we can surrender. One is, you know, you have this emotional or spiritual experience, and you just, you know, everything changes. But the other way that we can
surrender.
No, but here's, and this is why I brought it up. Here's another way to surrender, Keith, and you could do this, but it's hard for you to do it. You just comply. You say, look, I don't feel like doing this, but I called some people. I even told them how wise they were before they said a word, and they said, go do this. So I'm just going to do it, even though I don't feel like doing it. Even though I don't want to do it, I'm just going to do it. That'd be a great thing, you know, if you just did it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just because we asked you to. If you can't do it for yourself, whatever way you need to get there, will you do it? You know, I keep asking you, are you willing? Will you do it for me?
Yeah, I'm willing to do it. Yeah, I'm willing to do it, sure.
Okay. Because we really want to help you. We want to see you do the next right thing.
I don't want to waste your time. I'll just say,
okay, here's the thing.
It, and I'll get on the horn and get me a ride and go.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it only takes an hour, 1 hour of the
That's right.
Time.
Right. Rather than promise.
And twiddle my thumbs and watch TV and smoke pot and drink
yeah,
beer.
There you go.
4 or 5 o'clock.
And feel miserable.
5 o'clock hits. I'm sucking on beer cans by myself. And I'm
okay.
tired of being around all these idiots that use, you know, it's...
Okay,
yeah.
So, Keith, just say this. By the grace of God, and with God's help, I'm going to be at a meeting today. And I would love for you to call us tomorrow.
I have meeting schedules in here, 2019 meeting schedules, laying inside my bed, Bibles and prayer books.
All right.
And
So go... Go get involved with the meeting, okay? Just do it and tell us, and let's see if this could be the beginning. Because you called on a day, you got through, we had some extra time. I want to get your address, I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I'm going to send you this this workbook. I'll send you the general workbook for everything, and then the one on grief. I think it'll really, really help you. Well, wait, you've said depression too. I'll send you. There's a workbook. You work the 12 steps on grief. You work the 12 steps through depression. There's also one on eating disorders and one on divorce. If anybody wants it, you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, let's talk to Larry before we go to the next call. Larry, you were there this weekend. You saw what happened there. Here's Keith calling us. This is why we're here. And I'm really concerned. I'm not scared. I'm not panicked, but I'm concerned about our ministry and what all of this is going to do if people stop supporting us.
Yeah, I do too, Steve. I have that concern. But, you know, there was a I sent a note around to our staff. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but Chris Williams sent this to me yesterday. It was a note to a rabbi where this person is saying this coronavirus has just really thrown him, lost all sense of certainty. What's going to happen next? You know, how do you stay sane when you don't know what's around the corner? And the answer was great. The rabbi says, it's not that we've lost our sense of certainty. We've lost our illusion of certainty. Mm. We never had it to begin with. And this could be majorly unsettling or amazingly liberating. And he goes on about it, and he's saying, only God knows what's going to happen. And the thing I liked at the closing, he said, take every precaution as advised by health authorities. Wash your hands well, and every time you do, remember whose hands you are in. And that's what we have to do, even as an organization. You know, what we are likely going to have to cancel a workshop or two because the restrictions on sizes of meetings. And that's going to hit into our revenue stream and maybe penalties for canceling things with hotels. And we don't know what donors are going to do. The market's dropping, free falling, it feels like, and will people donate? Can we continue to do our radio program? We're not fearful, but those are questions that go through our mind. And so I just want to put out to folks, if you can help by making a gift, you can join Club New Life. Our request really isn't any different than it's been. But the sense of uncertainty, like the rabbi was saying, is an illusion. But it's real that we have that illusion, and we just really need your support now as much as ever.
We do need your support, and if you have concerns, we need you to let us help you with them, too.
Yes.
Call us. We want that, too. But, you know, sometimes when people are afraid of flying and they would never get on an airplane, you know, the way that you heal that is you go down to, I know in Dallas, American Airlines has a class, and they take you through it, and you actually experience a flight, and then eventually they go on the flight with you. And one of the things that they teach you to do is if you think you'd be afraid, they ask you to go meet the pilot. And once you meet the pilot, you come to understand there's somebody that knows a lot more about airplanes that's a lot more interested in that plane staying in the air than you are. And it helps you. Well, look, if you're concerned, do two things. Go to the pilot, God, and then do something. Act on your faith or act out of fear. Help us, help others, and it seems like the blessing would be even greater than if you weren't afraid of the future.
Hey, Steve,
go ahead.
One other point. We've got the best counselors and counselor network in the world.
We do.
We've got the best and largest resources. We have the best counseling call-in show. And we want to get that out to the people that are going to need it more than ever right now.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. You call us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help or you could help us. And then 1-800-229-3000. We'll do another program after this. I want to mention something to you before I go to this next caller. When we were at National Religious Broadcasters, we discovered something. We were told something about our program that means a lot to us. On Sirius XM satellite radio, are the best of Christian programs. And if you know anything about radio, I mean, you can imagine that more people listen to radio during drive time than any other time. When you're in your car, that's where you're most likely to hear. So, of course, on Christian radio, Sirius XM, they're going to have shows in the morning and shows in the afternoon, both those drive times, that are going to be in the top five. We are in the top five, even though we air during the middle of the day. We're in one of the top five programs, and we're an hour program. Most programs are 30 minutes long, and it's such an honor to be that, in the middle of the day, be in the top five. And so all I'm saying is, when you support us, it's not a small audience that you're supporting. You're making a big difference, and we're so thrilled that we're not just one of the other programs, but that in the middle of the day, people find a way to get free at lunch or whatever and listen, whatever they're doing. I remember one lady told us every day at lunch, I pull up over there to the aluminum can recycling bin. It's the only place I can get a good signal. And that's how she would listen. And I love that. So if you can help us, it's making a big difference. We're excited to be in the top five on Sirius. And probably the biggest audience in Christian radio is WAVA, top five. So I don't know where else we're in top five, but it's pretty exciting. All right, let's go to final caller here, but Facebook Live. We are live on Facebook Live. You can join us there now. You can join us there in just a minute. But let's go to Laura, Raleigh, North Carolina. Hello, Laura. How are you today?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
I don't know what to do about my husband. He's been addicted to pornography for 50 years, and I'm a Christian woman, and I just really hate him every day.
And when you say, I want you to quit this, or you need to stop this, what's his response to that?
At least I'm not really cheating on you.
Uh-huh. Oh. And then what do you say to that?
Nothing.
Hmm. Ouch.
And does he think that that is well, what does he do for a living? What's his profession?
He's a basketball coach.
Basketball coach, okay. So does he think that the standard, he's a believer, right?
Yes.
God's standard isn't you can do anything you want to do as long as you're not cheating or you're not having sex in a bed. That's not God's standard, is it?
Yes. No.
You know what his standard needs to be? One of the standards, the standard is purity. That's God's standard, holiness. But
I'm going to therapy myself right now, but it just isn't helping. Every time I look at him, I just can't stand him.
Okay, so why don't you do something about it that might change things rather than complain about it? Why don't you do something? Joe, what do you think she ought to do? What could be helpful? I feel so sorry for her that
I know, Laura. My heart just hurts for you. And it seems like, you know, he's just resigned himself to this and it's become a way of life. And he tends to shut you down. And you know, I'm imagining you've probably tried everything that you know to try. But
yeah,
have you had...
I have.
Okay. Does he care about... at all about the impact on you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He wouldn't do it if I would do things as a wife should do.
Okay. So he's blaming you now. So I think you have to decide what works for you and what doesn't work for you.
And I'm wife number five, so. Mm.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he just goes through wives when they don't go along with him?
Correct, yeah.
Oh. So what are her options, do you think? Don't have a lot of time, but let's give her some good options here.
Well, I think, Laura, again, I know it's really scary, but are you willing to live like this for the rest of your life?
No, I'm ready to leave.
Okay, I think you have to let him know that this just doesn't work for you. That you signed up for a partnership,
and someone who would care about how you felt and someone that would want to grow and that you've been getting help and you'd like him to do the same.
I will, yeah.
Right? We offer our Everyman's Battle workshop, and that's a really good thing to ask of a husband. Say, I need you to take
and
some action.
I doubt that he would go. I doubt that he would go.
Well, here's what I want to suggest.
Well, he either goes to the workshop or you're not there
right.
when he comes home from work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. But here's something. Cool. You let's see if there's a way you could get to our Restore workshop. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, in the city you're in, there are meetings for wives of sex addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to that meeting. Now, let me tell you why it's important. You're gonna learn some things, and you're going to feel better about yourself. But when he asks you, where are you going, or where have you been, and you tell him, I went to a meeting of other women whose husbands are sex addicts, it starts to change things in his mm-hmm. head.
Okay.
Right. You and start to do some proactive things.
Yeah. Because until you do that, see, you're just another object in the house,
yes,
just like the objects
in
the pornography. You feel that way, right?
I feel like that. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Objects don't make decisions. And is there anything that would prevent you from looking up like a sex anon meeting or a support group for codependency or anything? Is there anything that would prevent you from going to a meeting like that?
I need it. I truly need
okay.
it.
Yeah.
He hates women. He talks about women
yeah.
so bad.
Well,
I really need
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're just objects to be used. Now, I want you to hold on, Laura. We're going to try to help you find that meeting, but also it'd be really great if we could get you into one of our counselors, because then they could help you see how in the world did I end up with a man who mm-hmm. hates women.
Yeah,
they would help you figure
yeah.
that out.
You know, Steve,
out,
this is
so great.
This is a lot like our previous calls, where people yeah. use a substance, pot, alcohol, or sex addiction to drive away difficult feelings and negative feelings mm-hmm. on the inside. And what happens is then that substance takes over their life yeah. or the habituation mm-hmm. of sexuality takes over your life. Same idea. What are you going to do about the real pain on the inside?
That's right. Okay.
And Laura, I think we're running out of time.
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I think you said you have been in therapy, but I think it's really important to be talking about the things that we just touched on. You
yeah.
know, how
mm-hmm.
did you end up in this spot?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And where is the pain in your life?
All right. So glad that you've tuned in. Hey, everybody, we need to wash our hands and keep our distance. We don't need to live in fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Trust God, and it's going to be okay. But let's do whatever we can to make it be okay sooner. That means we're not spreading this little virus. Hey, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Our next program right now, call us 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.